podcast brought to you by the Triad Network. This podcast is designed to share trending topics occurring within the world and our communities and bring them a behavioral and mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavioral Health Today. I'm your host, Dr. Graham Taylor. In recent years, there have been emerging technologies that are significantly impacting mental health in some really exciting ways. I'm so excited today because of that to have Dr. Susan Litton on our show to talk about these emerging technologies and how she's been in the center of some of their development for a while now. Susan is uniquely positioned to address mental health and technology with us as she holds degrees in both interactive web design and development and in clinical psychology. Susan is the president and CEO of Cybooks, whose goal is to provide the easiest practice management system available with every tool and convenience a mental health practitioner may need. As I mentioned, she's also a clinical psychologist and practices out of Atlanta, Georgia. She specializes in abuse issues, dissociative disorders, eating and mood disorders, couples therapy, and she provides consultation and supervision services. Susan, welcome to our show today.
Thank you so much, Graham. I'm just delighted to be here. These are both my passions, clinical psychology and technology. I love them both. It's rare to have one person that loves both of those things, but I do.
Well, I was going to ask you about that because as I was, reading some things and putting things together, and it appears to me that you are enjoying a pretty cool, very nicely balanced life in which you found a way to integrate two of your best passions.
That's very true. What I usually tell people is my psychotherapy work feeds my soul because I do depth work with people. I'm not good with some of the other kind of therapies, but I do depth work with people. And so that's soul feeding for me. Yeah. The technical work, and don't ask me why, but my inner child just loves that. It is fun.
It's a playground for you.
It's a playground. It is an absolute playground. I love it. Yeah. So, yes, I am a happy camper.
That's really good. When did these two passions start to come together for you in a way that felt significant? Like we're onto something here and this path was something you started to go down.
Yeah, that's a good story. That's a fun story. I had no idea I was interested in technology. I didn't. I thought I was a psychologist through and through. And then I guess back in, 1995 or whenever America Online came out, I didn't know what that was. I barely knew what a computer was at that point in time. But someone told me, well, you might like America Online. So I got on and that was back in dial-up modem days and tooled around a little bit. And there was a site, part of America Online, that was called Online Psych. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll be interested here. And so I went there and they had articles about psychology and so forth, but I wasn't as interested in those, but they had message boards and also chats where you could go and talk to others about psychological issues. And boy, I was hooked. I jumped in with both feet. I loved having conversations with, it was all anonymous. If you were having a bad day, you could talk about the bad day you were having and you could say anything you wanted because no one knew who you were. And, so it was great.
Anonymity can be nice.
Yes. Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. And so I felt like I had found my niche because I could talk and I could say what was on my mind. And that's always been, for me as an individual, that's always been very healing to be able to talk and, share my truth. And so I had found a way that I could do that where I wasn't having to pay my therapist every quite so much because I had, other outlets where I could share intimately. Well, so what happened was that the powers that be that were in Online Psych started noticing that I was a fairly active participant in their chats and their message boards. And since I was a psychologist, I never told anyone I was a psychologist. I just went in as a consumer. I was using the service mm-hmm. like everyone else. Yes. But they noticed that I seemed to have good insight and, was helpful to people and that kind of thing. And so they began to ask me if I wanted to step into some volunteer positions. And I said, sure. And so I started with the message boards and loved it. And so then one day they said, we need someone to do a chat on Friday nights for people with dissociative identity disorder. Uh-huh. Would you be interested in doing that? Well, that's one of my passions that I work with, as a psychologist. But I don't like the chat medium as much as I like the message board, you know, medium. But I've always been one to sort of follow my gut. I love the Joseph Campbell, follow your bliss. It'll take you exactly where you need to be kind of way of thinking of things. And when I thought about, you know, I wasn't sure I wanted to tie myself down to a certain time on Friday nights and all like that. And I didn't like chats particularly, but I thought about doing that chat. And in the far distance in my mind, I saw a light, and it was just a little pinprick of light. But I thought, well, isn't that interesting? And I thought, I think this is a good path for me to take. I'm going to go ahead and say yes to that. So I volunteered and I started doing that, and that was fine. And then they came back to me and they said, well, you know, you're doing so much nice volunteer work for us. Would you like to learn HTML? And I said, what's that? But sure. And so they signed me up to take, you know, some HTML courses that online site that America Online was teaching and so forth. So on. All right. So I was doing all sorts of volunteer work for online psych, loving it, loving it, loving it. Then online psych sold to a company in New York City, which has since folded, but it was called iVillage. And at the time, at the time iVillage bought online psych, because I had done so much volunteer work for online psych, part of what they wrote into the contract was that I would be a hired employee of iVillage.com. I was going to be their senior community producer for their entire health channel, not just mental health, but physical health. So I said, great, you're going to pay me now to do this. That's great. I was able to work remotely most of the time, but I did have to travel back and forth to New York City occasionally for things. And the first time I went to iVillage to tour their facilities, I went in and I was in the community department, which meant I was supposed to build user base and, you know, that kind of thing, which is what I had been doing at online psych. And I was fine with that. I liked that kind of work. But I went to tour the facilities and we walked into to tour the graphics department. And there were all of these people sitting around computers and making beautiful graphics and logos and designs and web pages and all of these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to learn how to do that. I want to be one of them, you know. Yeah. And so then the tour continued. And then we went into this next big room area where there were all of these, you know, typical nerdy, geeky kind of guys who were the ones who were actually making it all work. They were the developers and they were building it all. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to learn that too.
It was a candy store with options.
Yes. I was like a kid in a candy store. So I just fell in love. Well, so anyway, I worked for iVillage.com for about 2.5 years. And then they did start having financial troubles and started laying people off. And I got laid off, but they gave me a very nice severance package. Nice. And so I thought, well, I'm going to use the severance package to go back to school and learn both how to develop software like this on the web. And I also wanted a program that would teach me how to make it pretty. I loved both parts of it. I wanted to make it work. I wanted to make it pretty. So I started several different programs and I finally found a program that did have a specific course in web design and development, and which I think they later labeled interactive media design or something, which is fine. And so I started by just taking a course here or there, you know, and because I was a special student. I mean, I already had a PhD, so, you know, it was a little strange, but I was just going to pick and choose and take the courses I want. And the dean, a lovely, lovely woman who's still a friend, you know, she worked with me and was signing me up for one course at a time. And so finally, after about a year or two of this, I finally just went into her one day and said, look, I just want to do the whole degree. Let's just sign me up for the whole degree because I want the whole thing. And so she said, okay, so we did that. And so this is a funny story. It came time for my senior project. I had to figure out what I wanted to do. And at the same time, keep in mind this entire time earning my living by being a clinical psychologist because I started that in 85. So that came first. So I had a practice management system that I was using at the time. And I think what had happened is that my computer had crashed and I had the software. I wanted to know if I was going to be able to install my program on my new computer, if that was going to be a problem. And so I called their support line. I'd never called their support line before because I'd been using their program for 5 or 6 years. I knew how to use it, get it to do what I wanted to do. But I called their support line and I said, told them the problem. And I said, will I be able to reinstall it on my new computer? And she said, sure, I'll be happy to help you. What's your name again? And I told her. And she said, well, I see that you haven't signed up for our support plan. And I said, no, I haven't. I said, your support plan is $200 a year and I've never needed it before. And so I haven't felt a need to. And she said, well, I can't answer your question unless you've signed up for our support plan. And I said, it's a yes or no question. And I said, you want to charge me $200 for a yes or no question? And she said, I'm sorry, but that's our policy. Wow. So I went from there to thinking about my senior project.
There you go.
You know, and I thought, I'm going to build a better one and I'm going to have the best free support ever because that's real important to me and so forth and so on. So it started off as a senior project. After I graduated, I was having so much fun. I just kept going and then eventually hired developers to do the parts that I can't do because I know a little bit about everything, but not a whole lot about everything. Mm-hmm. So I have hired help over the years. So anyway, and here we are.
So all these things coming together from your site, as I've seen it, it's very aesthetically attractive. And you're talking about
thanks.
It's being very, very practical and very useful as a practice management system. And I know for those practitioners that are coming into the field, and those are already in the field, but there's a lot of aspects to a practitioner's practice, including things around organization and scheduling, online portals, note-taking, compliance issues, et cetera. How are practitioners, are you finding, or have you found, Susan, most challenged by these elements of their practice with technology? And how does CyBooks particularly assist them in these areas, have you found?
Okay. Well, first of all, many people in the mental health field, many practitioners are afraid of technology. They don't like it. They don't want it. They're scared to learn. They feel like they're going to mess things up.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what we see the most often. I just recently wrote a blog post called Why Do People Hate EHRs?
Okay.
And that's what we need to discuss next, because for most people, if you ask your physicians, and I'm not talking about mental health people so much, but if you ask your doctors if they like their EHRs, they're going to roll their eyes, they're going to groan. On the other hand, there's some research that shows that patients, for the most part, do like, they don't care about the EHR part so much, but portals. They like having portal access to their records. So one of the things that I did in that blog post, and I want to talk about now, is to talk about how that came about and how CyBooks and products like it. There are other products in this area that, you know, willing to plug also, you know, CyBooks isn't the only one. But anyway, the people that do hate EHRs, what happened way back in 2009, the HITECH Act, which is part of HIPAA, came out. And part of that was a set of rules and regulations that were called meaningful use. Mm-hmm. Now, the idea behind meaningful use was to someday have all people in the U.S. have a centralized national database for their healthcare records, so that if you moved, if you went to another state, whatever, saw a different doctor, they could access your medical records for your entire life. The point is, whether you like the concept or not, the way they went about doing it was awful. It really created a huge mess because they did two things. What they wanted to do was to get everyone, all providers, on board using EHRs, electronic health records, because they saw EHRs as being the software platforms that would create and feed into this national database. Mm-hmm. So that was the goal of meaningful use, is to find ways to get all healthcare providers using EHRs. Okay, what they did was they offered huge monetary incentives to hospitals, to independent practice physicians. Didn't matter who you were. If you were a healthcare provider, the federal government was going to pay you to get an EHR. Now, at that time, there was debate about whether behavioral health should be included in this. And among behavioral health clinicians and also professional organizations like the APA, American Psychological Association, and the, you know, Social Workers Board and LPC Board and everything, there was disagreement because some behavioral health people wanted to be part of meaningful use and advocated for that. Others did not want to be part of meaningful use and advocated against it. The eventual outcome was that the decision was that behavioral health providers would not be included in meaningful use. Okay, so set that aside for a minute and go back to now we have the federal government incentivizing physical health practitioners to set up all these EHR systems. They not only paid you to set them up, but if you did not use them, and yeah, you know about this, I see you shaking your head. If you didn't fill out, you know, exactly the things they wanted you to measure, your reimbursements got dinged.
That's right.
You didn't get paid the full amount. Right. So the physicians, they wanted these EHRs. They had all this money to spend on them, and their income was going to get cut if they didn't do it. So they were wanting EHRs. Okay, now, if you put yourself in the shoes of a software developer, they are seeing a pot of gold because all of a sudden, here is this huge market of healthcare providers and hospitals and, you know, everything in the U.S. that all want EHRs. The sooner the better. Get me hooked up now. Okay. The legislators that wrote this, they made the decisions about what the doctors should do, what measures doctors should take that would be, quote, meaningful and produce good treatment outcomes. They also made the decisions for software developers about what they needed to do to create the perfect software. Okay, so we've got two different professionals here, healthcare trained people and software developers, neither of which are being given free rein to use their training, but are being mandated and told exactly how to do things. All right. But these software developers, they're still seeing a huge pot of gold and they want to cash in on it. So to be able to do that, they have to follow the mandates. They can't build software that they know is good. They have to do what they're told or else they're not going to get certified. So they follow all the rules and they're also trying to get it out the door in a hurry to beat the competition. So what happened was, a lot of the early EHRs that were certified by the ONC, which is the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT. That's what that stands for. And so all of these certified EHR products were being shipped out. The first of them, they were very, very bad. And the physicians were hating having to use them because not only were they having to measure things they didn't think were meaningful and it took a lot of extra time, but they were having to use software that really was inferior and bad. So that's the short answer to why physicians hate EHRs. Now, double back to the behavioral health side of things. Yes. Now we've got all these behavioral health providers who are not mandated to do a thing. We can still keep using paper pencil methods if we prefer that. It's entirely up to us. Or we can use EHRs or we cannot use EHRs or whatever. So people like myself came along. There's a whole other type of EHR out there. And CyBooks is one of them. We're mandated to follow HIPAA. We absolutely have to follow HIPAA. But we have free rein to build good software.
We'll be right back after word from our sponsor.
Behavioral and mental health professionals provide critical support to our communities in a time when our communities need it more than ever. But they need support too, to continue their education, to connect with colleagues, and to advance their career. And so we've launched Triad, the hub for behavioral and mental health professionals. At Triad, you'll find education, community, and career resources for both current and aspiring behavioral and mental health professionals, all curated specifically for you and all for free. Visit us at hellotriad.com/BHT to register for your free professional account. Again, that's hellotriad.com/BHT. Come join the community today.
What I'd like to ask about that is, now that the mental health practitioners didn't have to comply the same way that our medical colleagues needed to, you saw an in to be able to do something that would really meet the practitioners' needs in the mental health field.
Exactly.
I do a lot of work with a colleague of mine with some early career practitioners, MFTs and LCSW psychologists, mental health counselors. And we address a number of issues like ethical concerns, practice management concerns. And you've clearly been doing this for a while, and you saw almost like a niche here.
Yeah.
And a need here for mental health practitioners. But for those that are new in the field, and maybe even some of the reticence around EHRs, how have you as Cybooks tried to maybe right-size some of the concerns, maybe even possibly debunk some of the common misunderstandings to make Cybooks an attractive practice management system that would get people to say, hey, this is going to streamline my practice. This is going to make things very beneficial to me and keep me on track in right ways. Talk about Cybooks' involvement in around the mental health component of this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing is, with programs like Cybooks, we have to be user-friendly. We have to be products that will help subscribers, or else we can't stay in business. Because no one is mandated to use us. That's what I love. You know, every time I can think of a way to make a tool better, I just, you know, I can't tell you how many tools I've torn out and redone because I think of a way to make it easier.
You're making that mousetrap better and better every time.
I am. That's what my kid loves. It's like I wake up at night and think, ooh, this tool, it can be better. Yeah. And I love it. So
my best friend's dad used to say, hey, you know, make your good better and your better best. And that's what you're talking about, right? I just want to keep that, making that better best and better best. And
yes,
I like that.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've had people say, my gosh, you have turned my practice around. I had no idea. And, you know, I've been doing things so backwards and it's been so difficult and I had no idea. I've got another blog post somewhere that's like more than a 3-room house, I think it's called, or something like that. And it's the concept of some EHR, they start off small and they'll build a basic set of tools and then they'll decide, oh, we want to add a scheduling component, or, oh, we want to add a video component, or, oh, we want to add a appointment reminder, whatever. And they just add on tools and it begins to look like a, you know, you just add on a little honeycomb cells and whatever. Yeah. And they don't talk to each other and they don't communicate. And you have to sign out of this one and sign back into that one. And if you have to change a patient's address, you have to remember to change it in each component or whatever. And we don't do that at Cybooks. And it takes a lot longer to make a really truly integrated product because you have to go back and redo everything. Yeah. You know, but if we add a new component, it gets integrated fully. So
Susan, as you talk about this integrative piece right here, that sounds like it's going to streamline some things. It probably make the user experience absent of some friction and absence of some confusion that a lot of components might have. So paint a picture for me. I'm a student or a practitioner coming in and I want to use this program and I've got some needs in my practice. What am I going to experience the features of Cybook being as I look to maybe enhance my practice management component of what I'm doing? What am I going to experience with you?
Okay. Well, one of the things is, for example, on our calendar, we have a very nice calendar. And from the calendar page itself, you can see just by looking at an appointment block, if that session is a video session, if it's a telephone session, if it's an in-office session, or if it's an other, you know, you can see the modality. Where are you meeting? How are you meeting with this person?
Yeah.
If it's a video session, you just click the little icon right there on your calendar and start your session. You just start it right from the calendar. Once you've finished with the session, there's a little a little couch icon, which I chose for it to represent a session, you know, the couch. And if you click on that, and again, you're still on your calendar. You haven't even changed pages. You're on one page. So you click on the couch and you can enter the session. And when you enter sessions, we remember what you put in before, because in the mental health field, we tend to do the same CPT code and the same diagnosis over and over. A lot of the fields that you have to fill in on a HCFA form are the same from session to session to session. So we remember that data for you so that you don't have to enter it each time. And that's part of how it streamlines it. Very good. I can click that session icon on my calendar. And if I don't want to write a note right then, all I have to do is click save. You know, if nothing else has changed, it usually hasn't. I click save. I'll get a little thing that says, because I e-file, I'll get a little thing that says, are you ready to e-file? And I can say yes or no. And if I say yes, it sends it straight through, you know, to the clearinghouse. And if I want to save my HCFA form, I can. But it's all done right there. I can add from that add session form, I can add a client payment. A lot of EHRs, going back to the modular where they keep adding things on, you have to go to a whole different section to add a payment. It's not right there. But with CyBooks, it's all right there on your calendar. It's this one, the add client payment tool is actually on the add session form. So like most of my people pay me their copay with credit card. So I open my add session form, clicking on the couch icon. I click save and add client payment. I get the add client payment form. It says how much and which credit card do you want to use. I choose those and then I click save. And then I get a little thing that says, you ready to e-file? I say yes. And then it says, do you want a client receipt? If I say yes, I've got that. There's a little email symbol. I can email the receipt to my client. It is all HIPAA compliant.
You clearly had some fun designing this.
I had tons of fun doing this. That's the kind of thing I love. It's what I love doing. Yeah.
I love that. We know it's there's a lot of aspects to our practice, HIPAA compliance, you know, amongst a number of things, and also just streamlining some of the things, working with insurance panels and collecting copays and notifications of sessions coming up, note taking. And you guys, or you, have clearly thought through. Well, what a nice balance, too. It's not just somebody with a technical background with technology, but somebody with a mental health background that knows all the ins and outs of what our practices look like day to day. And it sounds like you work to make it so simple. And when I started out today, I clearly was reading off of something you said. One of your lofty goals is to be the easiest practice management system on the market. I love that.
Yep, me too.
And why not work towards that goal and be able to devote all of our energy when we get to the, you know, the privilege of sitting face to face with someone that we're working with. And when we're done, we get to kind of streamline it, close it all out, and then our energy gets to be directed in the right areas rather than these areas that are, you know, demanding and draining and everything else. You know, I think there's so many exciting things, and I would love our listeners. I know we're unfortunately kind of coming to the close of our time today, but I would love our listeners to be able to have access, in addition to hearing what you're sharing with us today. I know you've posted some things on our site. I know you have a site. I would love to have you give us some information about how our listeners can go to your site and just kind of add to the things that you've shared with us today and see some of the areas that you've highlighted for us. How would they find it?
Okay. The URL is just, you can just type in cybooks.com, and that's cybooks.com. Okay. And that will take you to the site. There are some nice blog posts that teach a lot about why you would want an EHR and HIPAA and note taking. And I mean, I write from both sides of my brain. I write as a clinician.
I was going to say that earlier today. You got both sides going, which doesn't always happen very often.
Yeah. So there is a lot of good information there that people can find. So
that's awesome. What a tremendous practice management tool to make our lives as practitioners so much more simple than what the typical procedures tend to include. And it's been really great to be with you today. Thank you so much for sharing
you,
what you've done, your creativity, the history behind it, the context behind it, and making it a very meaningful program to benefit our lives. So appreciate that.
I appreciate the opportunity to share my passion.
It's really been nice to be with you, Susan.
Thanks, Graham.
And to you, our listeners, we want to thank you as always for joining us as well. And we'll look forward to having you with us next time on Behavioral Health Today.
We appreciate all the support from our community, and if you like our show, one of the best ways you can support it is by giving us a 5-star rating and leaving a review. Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Tribe Network, all rights reserved.